Once again, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you from the lovely Midwestern state of Nebraska and the city of Lincoln, the heartland of the United States. And it's a beautiful place, beautiful people, and we always enjoy the chance that we have just to be wherever it is that God gives us the opportunity to be, because we should approach life with an attitude of gratitude. We should be grateful for every moment that we have, because it is truly a gift from God. You know, I think one thing that happens so often is people begin to approach life with so much anger and animosity, and not really realizing how many things that they have to be grateful for. And you know, when our attitude has a grateful component to it, when we're grateful for the opportunities of life, when we're grateful for the relationships that we have, the people that we get a chance to meet, the things that we get a chance to do, the things that we get a chance to put our hands to and make a difference, you know what? One thing that seems to happen with that is that attitude just leaves such a positive residue on everything that we do. And it really becomes a blessing to the people around us. And likewise, when people approach life and they're angry and they're bitter and they have unforgiveness in their hearts, and they keep going through life with, you know, all these things that they think the world owes them, the byproduct of that is, you know, they're really quite miserable people. And it's kind of sad, because with all that takes place, they can be on a beautiful tropical beach with one of the most amazing sunsets in the world taking place right in front of them, and in their heart, because they're so angry and so much animosity, they'll never enjoy that, you know, because the state that we are within will affect the reality of how we see things going on around us at all the time. You know, that's in part why the kingdom is within, because it's an internal change that's necessary that then affects our external circumstances and the way that we approach and deal with life. So, you know, for us, you know, the things that we encounter, the things that we go through, if you allow the Spirit of God to work with you in those things, what you'll end up finding is that they will, the situation sometimes may not change, but you will change in the situation. You know, that story in Acts chapter 16, where it talks about Paul and Silas, you know, after they'd gone through, pretty horrible experience of being, you know, whipped and beaten, and they're tossed into jail and their feet put in the stocks. And yet, you know, with what they ended up going through, they were singing praises and songs unto God in the midnight hour in that, you know, jail dungeon situation. Now, the way that that happened was not because their external circumstance was pleasant by any means. You know, no. It's because within, something had happened inside their own hearts where, you know, it wasn't, you know, when they were writing about consider it pure joy when you face trials of all kinds, because you know the testing of your faith builds perseverance, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. They were not writing about some fictitious, you know, you should try this, you should do this. They were writing about the life that they now lived in Christ Jesus and encouraging others to press through, because when that is developed within, your dungeon, your prison cell can be a place of praise. You know, I know that in the natural, many of the situations that the saints of God go through are not things that we would choose. You know, we would not choose them in and of ourselves, those situations in and of themselves. But when God, who knows all things, is leading and guiding us, he takes us through those experiences of life, because when he knows that, this is the whole Psalm 24, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, that rod and that staff, they comfort me. He restoreth my soul. I used to wonder that question, what in the world are we doing in the valley of the shadow of death? But if his sheep know his voice and they won't follow another, then we are in the valley of the shadow of death because he's leading us in and through. So as he leads us in and through, we learn to trust him in that, knowing that in the place that we're in, if it were not for the Spirit of God, we would be undone right away. But when you have your foundation and your trust in him, and when you know the voice of the Spirit of God, then what you end up seeing and what ends up taking place is you realize it doesn't matter what your external circumstance is, that God is bigger than your circumstance. God is bigger than your situation. And his hand is at work in what you're going through and what you're experiencing. And if you trust him, you also know that he can work those things together for the good. And, you know, like today, one thing that we know is, hey, with all the challenges that we faced, we're still here. We're still breathing. We're still, you know, we still have our feet under us. You know, we may have been knocked down several times. The righteous fall seven times, but they get back up again. You know, where it just takes one knock for the wicked to be laid low permanently. You know, we keep getting back up because we have a hope in Christ. Do we like, in the natural, a lot of the challenges that we face? Well, okay. On one level, no, of course not. But on another level, after we've come through them and survived them, and God has carried us through, you know, you look back and you see his hand, and in a strange way too, even though you wouldn't have chosen it, you also wouldn't trade it, because you know that there's certain things that you would have never learned or never understood had you not been through the experiences that you've been through. And you would have never gone into those experiences had God not led and guided you through. So it's a bit of a interesting twist when it comes to life, because you see and know and understand that God really does have your best interest at heart. He really is in control. He really is leading and guiding those that would follow him and those that would trust him. But it involves, us putting ourselves in a position where it's like, all right, Lord, you lead and I'll follow. You know, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. Now, remember with Paul and Silas in Acts 16, you know, Paul had the vision of the man from Macedonia who said to them, you know, come over and help us. So he went over to help him, and he ended up getting waylaid. And, him and Silas, they ended up getting beat pretty badly and tossed in jail. In that moment, you know, he could have just wondered, you know, hey, did I miss God? Why didn't things work out here? You know, this is, you know, it's an important point to mention is don't look at an isolated incident that you might think is negative in your own mind and allow that to shape your entire reality, because you don't see the big picture. None of us do. We only know in part. And God sees and knows and understands the whole thing. See, this is where we have to trust, because sometimes, too, you may never understand. You may never, ever know that bigger piece until later down the line. And in the middle of what you're going through at a particular situation, you may be struggling with it, you may be anxious about it, but God is in control, and you got to trust him in that. You got to trust that, you know, he knows what he's doing with you. And this is where, for me, the important part has always been, Lord, just I got to know that I'm hearing you, that I'm walking with you. You got to know that. You got to, that has to just be the craving of your heart. Because, you know, like Moses, you know, when God said, look, I'm going to send you guys on your way. My angel will go with you, but I'm not going to go with you, because if I go with you, I might destroy you guys. And what did Moses say? You know, he said, Lord God, you know, I do not want to move a step unless you're with us. Because, you know, it's you, it's your presence that makes all the difference. And without you, you know, there's no way that that we could go forward. There's no way that we could go, you know, anywhere in this if it were not for your spirit. Because that's what makes us different. That's what makes us different from the people around us. That's what makes us different from the nations that, you know, they're going to remove from the promised land, is the very presence and person of God. And Moses said, essentially what he's saying is, I would rather live here in this desert for the rest of my life, if that meant having you, then go on into this land, this perfect place, not have your presence. You know, I don't want to go on without you. And when that becomes the passion of your heart, you won't. So Moses refused to move unless he was moving with the presence and the person of God. And, you know, there is a crucial aspect to that way of living that all of us who are followers of Christ Jesus know, and in we maybe understand internally, although sometimes it may not be in, you know, the forefront of our thinking. But we know it inside, where we do not want to be away from the presence and the person of God. You can offer us everything the world has to offer, but if that meant us being away from Christ, if that meant us turning our back on the truth that we know, if that meant us bowing our knee, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were asked to do by Nebuchadnezzar, to bow our knee to something else besides the living God, we would, you know, just like them, they said, you know, O king, we are not careful in answering you in this matter. As for that which you've set up and the idol you've set up, we will not bow. See, they knew what was going on. We know what's going on. We know we're among those that are the called, the chosen of God. You know, we respond. The many are called, but the chosen are few. The chosen are those that have responded to the call. The chosen are those that have heard His voice, have not hardened their hearts, but have instead said, okay, Lord, your way not mine, every day. Lord, your will not mine, every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in Jesus' name, amen. Those are the chosen. And we live as chosen sons and daughters of the living God. We live as those that know His voice. We live as those who understand this reality. And see, the world can't understand it, because the world will sell themselves. They don't understand their own worth, and so they sell themselves for whatever somebody's willing to pay for them. And usually, people in the world are bought for very cheap. You know, something interesting for me has been, the longer that I've walked with Christ, the higher the offers that have come from the world that want, in order to try to get me to sell out to it. And which is really a strange thing, because, you know, they just keep up in the ante, looking for a spot. And the thing is if there's something in your heart that you want more than the presence and the person of God, that will be the place that the world will tap into and snare you. So if you want power more than you want the presence and the person of God, if you want money, if you want success, if you want that person It's not Jesus, but that person. If you want a person, and it's not him, but it's somebody else, if you think it's that person is going to be what completes you, whatever it may be. See, there's a reason that he says, you know, thou shalt love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There's a reason that he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength. And from that relationship, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. The first has to be the first, because that allows you to do the second, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor as yourself in a good way without loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So, you know, it's having the first thing first. But if there's something else in you that you want more than him, the enemy of your soul will search that out, will test that in you, will offer that to you. He will. Because the enemy, in the end, he's making legitimate, real offers, but they all have time stamped on them. They're all stuck for this life, this reality, this present, really, you know, this life is really, really short. It's temporal. So, you know, the thing is, for us, is that, you know, it's not, we understand that truth. Look, have you ever wondered why, you know, God just didn't destroy, you know, destroy the devil and his angels when the fall took place? Have you ever wondered why God just didn't push the reset button entirely, you know, when Adam fell and just wiped the whole thing out? Have you ever wondered why? Well, here's something. Part of the mystery of God, in order for free will to truly be free, in order for you and I to be in the place where we could choose, we had to have a reality like the one that we have, that we live in right now. See, in order for us there had to be a place of things being, you know, in equilibrium, so you could set a direction that you wanted to with your own heart and choose to respond to whichever kingdom that you want to serve. Okay, have you ever seen a tug of war where you get two teams and they're on two different sides of the rope, and they put that handkerchief in the middle and they put a line, and you know, they, and whichever side the handkerchief crosses over is the one to which the side that person will end up going, or not that person, but the victory will go to the side that the line that is pushed in that particular direction. Well, it's kind of like that in this life. Now, if God wanted to, in a second, this whole thing would be over. Light always trumps darkness. Light is always stronger than the darkness. That said, God allowed, God allowed for this reality to be put into a certain state of balance for the purpose of one purpose with this, so that you could choose, that you could exercise your free will, and you could choose light or you could choose the dark. You could choose to follow Yahweh, Elohim, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, or you could choose the world and the world system, the enemy of our soul, the devil. You could choose yourself, your flesh, to worship that. So you could choose that side. And so God put things in balance so that we could make decision and make choice and choose. And we could choose to accept the truth or to reject the truth. We could have a hunger for truth and righteousness, or we could not. So that was something that God put in place for us, for you, for me. And see, that reality, you know, sometimes people wonder, well, look, this world is not our home, okay? We're passing through this place. But while we're passing through, this is the reality that we were born into. And, you know, we, because light is so much more powerful than the dark, we had to face an opposition like the one that we're facing. We had to be put into a situation where, you know, a lot of things the enemy would seem to have. But you and I would have to press through into the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus so that we know what we have that trumps their reality. So it's part of the mystery of God, which is being unfolded even in these days that we live in right now. It's part of the mystery of God that we all experience in this life. So that's why, too, rather than looking at things from our own perspective, look at things through the eyes of Christ. Ask to see things through His viewpoint, His vision, His place, the way that He sees it. And then you know, then, as a child of the living God, how now you should relate to your reality. You should relate to the things that are going on around you. And like Paul and Silas, you know, in the dungeon, you know, with their backs ripped open by the whips and their feet in the stocks, they were praising God and singing praises to His holy name because they understood something. They understood what was really going on. And in the middle of that, God shook the prison cell, took off everybody's bands. They all fell off. And, you know, and what happened with the prisoners? Nobody left because they knew. They could have all run away. But they knew that something greater was going on in that prison than anything else that was going on outside, and they were not going to miss that at all. So, that being the case, we understand, we know that which God has done for us and in us, and we understand the truth and the reality of who we are in Him, and we move forward in that. So with that, hey, God bless you guys. We love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi. You can also reach us through our Facebook page. Search for Faith Mix, one word. There's people now all over the world. You guys are posting on the page. We love it. We love it. Hey, just if God's got something for you to say, put it out there and encourage each other in the word. All right, hey, we love you guys. Keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you sometime soon. God bless you. Bye.